Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode, chapter, journey, quest into the world of It's You and I, where we delve into the inner spirit of ourselves to find out who we truly are, to break asunder this system that we are a part of that is causing more harm than doing more righteousness. Greetings to the freedom fighters out there, to my Rasta brethren and sisterins out there, to families, to men, women, children, my brothers on lockdown, spiritual warriors, spiritual ninjas. Hope I didn't forget anybody, and the enemy too. Exactly. Welcome to It's You and I. I'm your co-host, Jahima.
I'm Dennis.
Welcome, like I said, to the episode. We have a pretty good agenda show for you today. We're going to break our show down, do something a little different than what we normally do. We're going to take about 15 minutes, and we're going to discuss some current events that are probably happening in your area. We want to try to stay current on what's happening and make sure that our shows are current. We are recording on March the 4th, 2011, and this is the first show of the first week of March. Let's talk about those gas prices. Bet you guys are feeling that, huh? Maybe not as bad as we are in California, but they always have us by the balls here in California. The car culture that it is. What's your take, my brother? You think all the revolution, interruptions in the so-called Middle East causing the petrol boys to run up the meter?
Well,
it's going to be $4 for this weekend, as we come in this weekend in L.A., in the state of California. We're going to see $4 before this weekend's up.
Maybe more. Okay, let me respond this way. I don't drive.
That is true.
Right. And the reason why I say I don't drive, that can be taken several ways. They say, brother, you mean you don't have a car? That's a choice I made. And that's not an easy choice in L.A., living in L.A. And I'm not saying I made a better choice than my brother, Jahima.
Huh.
Because he has to drive. Well, we're moving to a place where it's, you heard, of course, provision is being made for greater bicycle culture in California. Have you heard that?
No, I haven't. That's a first. No, I didn't hear about that.
Greater bicycle lanes. So that's a small part of the solution from moving away from the, what's the group that's make the statement about oil crisis? Steel pulse.
Oh, to my pulsers. Yeah, earth crisis.
Yeah. In other words, oil crisis. And it's very interesting that the focus is on Egypt, the pyramids.
Go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
Now, why I say it's interesting that the focus is on Egypt, the pyramids, and oil, and the growing dependence of nations on oil, and it seems that most of the oil is in the hands of who? Is it in the hands of Arabs?
Yeah, if you're looking at the Near East that way, yes. Africa does too.
Let me ask you something about this East business, brother. Is Africa East? East of where?
No. Africa is a continent, or Ethiopia is a continent.
But you said something about Middle East or Near East?
Yes. It was always been called the Near East. The Europeans changed geography somewhere, maybe after World War I or something, or I'll have to find out where they changed the name to Middle East.
Very interesting. Very, very interesting. We were just talking about, instead of a pyramid, a circle. And in the circle in indicative of the village and intimacy. And we were just talking about community, where it's all of us in a common geography. Now I can look from here, and I can look on my wall. I said, a global humanity on a single planet, Earth. A global humanity on a single planet Earth, where it's about humanity as community. Think about that. That it's a global community on a single planet Earth, where it's one humanity. All these artificial divisions don't help us. Because they become the impetus for bickering and quarreling.
Which is what you have today.
It's correct. And we can't continue that way.
So we agree that the so-called Middle East does not have the impact that causes the rise of petrol in the United States and maybe worldwide.
Okay, you heard what I said? It's always worldwide, brother. But I choose not to use that word, worldwide.
I know. I'd rather say global.
Global. You know why? Because there's a difference between a common earth and who occupies this common earth, the church and the world, for the theologians. The church and the world. The world is ruled by Satan, the kingdom of the world, and the church is ruled by, You say, are they both theocracy? Does Satan advocate a theocratic system? Let me hear your take on it, brother.
No, my brother. He does not.
Okay, how would you
summarize his ideology?
Exactly.
Whatever ideology we have chosen today that has not been used in this proper way is a satanic ideology.
But when you say in its proper way, where do we get proper from?
The Most High.
Well, we are saying the same thing. Okay. I said to you in one show, I said, okay, we are at USC. And we're saying, you're coming from the presumption that everybody believes that there is a God. And that's not true, my brother. But we just presume that everybody believes that there is a God.
You can't do that. You have to meet each person where they're at. You can't make that assumption. That's like in this country, everyone makes the assumption that you're a Christian. And if you're not, if you're anything else, then don't even say atheist. They might throw stones at you. They're going to curse you.
Okay, let me look at it from another perspective. If we're looking at the ethical line for the global human, where is that ethics going to come from? How is that going to be defined? What is the ethics? It's not like it's printed somewhere, but yet it's built into the universe, and you can't get away from it.
It's already inside of us. It is the willingness to carry out Yah's righteous purpose. It's right there. All we have to do is allow it to live in us.
So that it's from inside out, and it's not from outside in.
You don't own nothing. You came here with nothing, you'll leave with nothing. Make a contribution to the legacy, because this is a chain. When you and I go, things carry on in this realm. Build something for tomorrow's children.
You have always held on to. We have to plan beyond ourselves. You think that's easy, brother?
There is so much greed over paper, it's ridiculous. It's almost like a disease. It's like me passing up millions of dollars of money dropping out of the sky. Like it's no big deal.
Let's get back to some practicality.
But anyway, let's move on, because we were just talking about gas and look what gas got us into.
Okay. Okay.
Let's move on. What's your take on the Satanic Mind Control Programming? This is Freedom Friday, by the way, so I'm trying to find things that will open things up to get us to think and focus on what we're all supposed to be about.
Okay. Let me respond this way. The guy that had those groups in that thing where they had this heat and some of them died.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's... Oh, okay. Wow. I remember that.
Yeah.
It finally got to trial.
Would you say that's mind control?
Yes, but how was he able to persevere and take the minds of these people and get them to endure unbearable...
That they died?
Yes.
Okay, before the show started...
Kind of like almost some way of genocide. Well, go ahead.
Okay, before the show started, we were having a discussion. We were talking about climates. Get ready, listeners. Climates. And, of course, climates in terms of we are men, we have had women, we have had climaxes. Now you say, what people in a situation like that, they are looking for transcendence, which is almost like they're saying, I am going to find myself by going through this torture, and I will come out better. Now,
I didn't do that. Look how I came out. Go ahead, but I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Okay, but Jamie, listen to this. Okay, let me stick on this before I take up where you went just now. I said, people are looking for something beyond what is available. And they'll go through all these things to try to find it. And what they're looking for and trying to find, in those kinds of ways, we started talking about basketball. We're saying, we got a lot of freedom out of the game, where the game became the vehicle for our transcendence. Or the better term is the zone. We are looking for the zone. We want to enter the zone. We can look back at Michael and the tongue hanging out, and we just say, I don't know where it is, but I'm in the zone. We know about the zone. You get what I'm saying? But I'm saying, you going through how you grew up and being here now, and we are doing a show, you're saying, you walked the course, brother. That's why you can do a show like this, called You and I. But you walked the course, and you walked it successfully. I was just relaying to you that what stays in my mind, I saw a young brother, a black brother too, hit a girl, and basically, publicly, not for maybe on 27th, and I'm saying, brother, what you just did, Jahima and I have to walk around in the same color, brother. And people might think that we are just like you. And before, maybe I would have responded differently, but I'm saying, you know what I learned? That violence is not the answer. But I'm not saying to you, why did you do that, brother? Don't you have respect for a girl, a lady? And that's not a sign of manhood, brother.
But see, that goes back to, and we, I don't like to bring this guy up, but it just, we can't help it. This goes back to Elijah Muhammad explaining what happened to us.
Elaborate.
That guy who hit that woman?
Yeah.
That was not his nature. That was someone else's nature.
I agree.
Because if he was in his divine Ethiopian nature, first of all, the woman would be not in that condition in the first place. And there would be no need for him
to do that. Okay.
We are put, socialized in the condition that we are in this country. And Malcolm is definitely qualified witness to that. So, in socially engineering us, then we have to take some of his nature too. And I'm speaking from as an Ethiopian in America or African in America, because that's what I had to get rid of.
What did you get rid of?
I had to get rid of
the mind control.
Not only that, but what the European had made me through him, not through my ancestors. I had to take that back.
When did you start consciously to do that, brother? How early in your life you made that decision? Because obviously you got to make that sometime, and you got to stick to the road. Because I say, let me remind the listeners, that says, how to be black in America in Jahima and his story. You walked through all that, and you came out where there would never be a situation where you would be a participant in that kind of display.
Looking back at my life, I wouldn't think of myself as a chosen one. But looking at what has happened, I didn't get here by myself, and there was a reason for me being here or getting this far. Because if I didn't do what I was supposed to do, I'd probably already be dead.
Okay.
Because LA is not an easy city to live in when the culture of LA has been based on gang. You have to know where you're at all times. You have to know who cares about who the congressperson is, what street organization is running the show, because that's what you're going to have to deal with. Not with your councilmen, not with your political people, not with your religious teachers.
Let's get practical. We're basically here in the West Adams area. We're saying, okay, Apostolic Temple, you say, Bishop so-and-so owned from 27th to Adams. You say, how did that happen? And how is Bishop making a contribution to the concept of community, where, as I shared with Chip, who is on the other side, who goes from Adams down that way?
Well, you're going
to
find
this to the 10th freeway.
You're going
to
find
they own it, brother.
You're going to find this very interesting, to the point that the way the system is set up, it's not set up to honor and respect and to embrace community. If I could set up a business that is hazardous to the community and I got enough money to build it right here, I can do it. Despite the harm, environmental harm it would cause to the community, I can do this. And if I pay enough politicians off and buy the EPA, whoever, it will get done.
Let me remember, it's chess we're playing, brother. It's chess we're playing, right? I'm saying, look, the village. Think the village and put the village in that same geography from 27th to the 10th freeway.
All right.
You see any village there?
No.
So where's the village?
That's what I'm saying. See, business, whether it's a church, a storefront market, an insurance company, or a bank. And this system under capitalism, it doesn't give a hoot and nanny about the community. It just sets up shop there and make as much money until either it goes broke or decides it needs a bigger location. It's not there for the sake of the community. This is why we stress on this show, community empowerment. Last week when I got my hair cut, I had an interesting conversation in the barbershop where we started to talk about things like you and I talk about in a barbershop.
But it has always been about the barbershop. You know what's happening.
And I told one brother, if we really wanted to bring brothers together or start something of an organization, the barbershop is the best place to do it.
The barbershop is the best place to do it.
You want to talk about organized brothers? That's where you do it. And I say, okay, yeah, I get you. That's what I would have to, every barbershop. Or find a representative to go in there where we could organize. Because if anything that needs to be talked about as far as how things should run in the community, as far as brothers are concerned, barbershop's a perfect place.
Definitely. But, okay.
Because the brother said that it's been a long time since he's been able to talk the way that we were talking in the barbershop. Yeah, I lit that barbershop up.
Okay.
With solutions. With examples. Of what we need to do.
Okay.
Okay. No complaining. We can't complain. We need solutions. Like Malcolm said, we need some hardcore solutions. And we need to be acting on it. Because just like James Brown said, there's no way we're going to get free in this. We can forget about it. And this goes to the next thing on our list. We're still going through our current events, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. Stay with us. What was said on the Real Time Bill Maher show, where he had, like I said, Richard Simmons, I couldn't find the show. Mm-hmm. Well, the comment was about the difference between Tea Partiers carrying guns, because you know they've been seen carrying guns to certain rallies, and African Americans and American carrying guns. The perception is totally different. And Russell Simmons had a unique opportunity to set the record straight. But I guess he didn't know what I knew. I was going to say, I was told Bill, that's nothing new. That's no difference in what the Black Panthers did when they went to Sacramento. We already know the reaction. It will be no different than it is today. And I would challenge him. It's like, why are you white boys so afraid of brothers with guns?
And they're free to wear their guns, especially in certain places, open on display.
So that told me right there, when homeboy Uncle Tom down on us. The perception of us has not changed. And that's going to be my question to the audience. I'm not going to do the one I wanted to do. What is the perception of Africans in America and Africans globally? What is the perception of us? And see what you can come up with. And put your pros and cons down. And don't be surprised if you come up with more cons than pros. Don't be surprised. But okay. It depends on your level of thinking. But our perception in this country is still fear. It's still the O.J. Simpson syndrome. Let me throw that bone in there.
What about the guy that was beaten up by the LAPD? Rodney King.
All right.
Okay.
18 against one. So you take it takes 18 white boys to bring down one brother. Just joking. We can say that now because it's over and done.
Okay.
But it wasn't funny to Rodney.
Okay. Let's put it this way.
I know he was scared.
Of course.
Because LAPD has had a tremendous record of beating up brothers. I've seen it myself.
I've seen it too, brother.
A long-standing record.
Okay. But, okay, Jayma, I don't want to get away.
But we're talking about, we're going to stick to the subject here. We're talking about what Bill Mayer talked about, the Tea Partiers able to wear their guns to a rally.
Right.
And what would happen if brothers decide to go to the Million Man March with their guns? What the perception would be?
It was
obvious.
Okay, let me respond this way. First, it said that LA is the gang capital of the world.
Street organization.
Street gang. Blood Scripts.
All right, it's more than just that. There's more than just that. Asians have a gang. Latinos have a gang. African-Americans have a gang. You think the Europeans ain't got a gang? They call Aryan Nation.
Okay.
They're not street.
Who gets the most publicity, visibility, accusation? Black.
Of course.
Always victim. You see what I'm saying? And suppose...
What do you think the other side of slavery is? Victim.
Victim.
But we've gone from slavery to victim.
But, brother, we were talking something about brainwashing. We were talking about Uncle Tom and Uncle Sam is basically the same. You say you do that systematically.
Steal our music, thief our music, take our music, really. Go ahead.
Do that systematically through the media, and eventually it's almost like mass conditioning, where you're defining a people, that's who you are. All these images, I was just talking about this.
But see, not only are you saying, and don't get this wrong, my brothers and sisters, when you say, look at the monkeys, act like monkeys, and they are, you've been socially programmed. Because they're calling the shots. They're saying, and you're acting this way.
Jayma, let me, I'm still on the same subject.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
This is heavy-duty psychology.
Okay, exactly right. Listen to this. I'm saying, you look at these brothers, when it comes to rhythm and flow, you say they had somebody say a white man can't jump? You get me? I'm saying we are naturally in rhythm and flow as children of the sun, then.
I haven't heard that said in a long time, but yes.
Yeah, natural rhythm and flow. And through history, you've watched these. Not only was it Bojangles, but this guy's showing so much off, and yet.
Yeah, but see, that's a detriment to us, because that's not our best. This was our best. Look at them pyramids.
Okay, Jayma. Okay, you saying.
Dancing and athletics was just part of our culture, how we reward ourselves. They were exploited.
Definitely. Now.
But what does that say about the man himself?
Ask that question again.
What does that say about the man himself?
Which man?
Bojangles.
James.
See, we need to know the man. We know he can dance.
Okay.
You think everybody knows Michael?
Okay. Hold on, brother. Let me put it this way. Audience, listen to this. I'm saying, James said, I am not what I do. I am who I am. You think it's easy to tell the difference, brother, from what you do to who you are? It wasn't about this guy dancing. He was showing just natural flow, just, yeah, through him. He made a statement, and he was not playing no political game or making no social statement. He was just being himself. And it had nothing to do with the fact that he chose this medium of natural flow to show him at one with your creation. That's the way I see it. You follow what I'm saying? But when you say, okay, the black skin is the curse of Cain, your natural murderer. We had a show like this before, but...
Well, what do you think African-Americans with guns going to look to Europeans like? Cain. You see...
That hurts, brother.
It doesn't hurt because... See, when you have eyes, you can see the trickery in it. We know who the real savage and who the real killer is. It ain't us.
Short history.
It's not us. But see, they've got
but
us.
But they wonder.
But they...
They won.
No problem.
But you say the fight is not over yet.
I haven't but given up. But
they won in terms of the imagery. That's who they are.
They control
They're
it.
Naturally that way. Don't give them no guns. Or they'll kill somebody. But give the Tea Party gun.
And remember, we weren't the first. Then they said it about the Native Aborigines with fire water and Winchester rifles. Don't want to be around them, do you?
Imagine Winchester rifles against them bow and arrows. They have been historical slaughterers, brother.
Now you understand what Elijah Muhammad was trying to get us to understand.
Now,
it takes a lot to get a people to hate themselves. Somebody ran a serious program.
You're saying what is being on display is self-hatred?
To be brainwashed in America is to watch a cowboy Indian movie and root for the Europeans to win. That's what I call social engineering brainwashing.
Well, I mean, listeners know I grew up in Belize. When we go to watch the movies, what kind of movies do you think we see, bro? And what's the message to young minds that Roy Rogers want?
And you know what the killer card was? The card of the European Jesus, not Yeshua. Okay. If I say Jesus right now, I guarantee most people are going to see the white one. It takes conditioning to replace it.
Over many, many years. Sistine Chapel.
And you've got to be good at it, because it's not easy to replace that image when somebody says Jesus. Because the mind, logically, even goes faster than you can stop it. Because it goes with its flow. Because of the conditioning. So okay. You have to change that. We call it re-engineer your thoughts.
Let me put it this way. What color was Adam and Eve?
See?
Honest question. What color was Adam and Eve?
They were Ethiopians, I'm going to tell you that much.
They weren't white.
No way.
Because all colors, all race come from black.
That's what we know factually.
That's a fact. Yet... when we can look at our skin and begin to hate ourselves, I'm saying they did a pretty good job.
They did a damn good job.
But brother, this was not only about externality. This was to say, well, name change, nature change. It says it's their nature. It said Jacob became Israel. Saul became Paul. He said, you can't name no Kunta Kinte Your name is Toby. They did a job on us, brother. It didn't work on I.
It worked on all of us. Don't sit up here and say that.
What's my name now? Like
you the exception to the rule. See, you a T-O-M.
Uncle
you
Tom.
A S-O-M. Helping him. Just like the Native Aborigines helped the Europeans. That's how... Remember, how did Cortez defeat Montezuma? One of the enemies.
Guys.
Helped. And Cortez enslaved all of them.
Okay.
No loyalty.
Okay, J-Mo, let's stay right here. Because now I'm going to get some of my Latino brothers and sisters involved. You say Cortez believed that the white man was God. Because God is supposed to be white. Where did he get that from?
Yeah, who brainwashed his ass, huh?
Where did he get that from, brother?
The Vatican, huh?
You're right.
Really, it was the Pope. There was no Vatican at that time.
You want to go there?
No! That's not what the concept of the show is.
Because we've
been there. That's where we're going. That's where we always go. We're going to do the PIC. That was going to be our major topic for tonight, but I need to do some more work on that, so I'm going to introduce that the next show. But I want to bring up another topic for, this is for discussion, and we're going to go into our discussion half of the show. The Near East, or the so-called Middle East. The title of this discussion is The Real Revolution in the Near East. Do the revolutionaries out there who have been watching this feel that they're seeing a real revolution, or they're seeing the Illuminati going through the motions of a revolution, but when it's all over, nothing really changed. They still were able to put their kind of people back in place again. New face, same allegiance. Your take, brother.
Okay. What are they asking for? Is it democracy? Democracy won't help you, brother. Democracy won't help you, brother. In other words, how much more democratic can you get than you as a people brought down the leader?
And see, the only problem that you're also not hearing in the coverage from CNN and others is, what do the people want? Nobody's asked them. They always plant this idea, especially in America, they always plant this idea like democracy is the flavor of the decade or something. Like it works. And it's like, no. If it's their revolution, if it's truly a revolution, the people will decide what they want. Right now, they can't decide because they have to overthrow first.
Okay, Jima, let's be realistic. You're saying, who is running the show over there, brother? Who is running the show?
Because there are some real revolutionaries in the Middle East that want their country to be run by them. But the United States and others, they got their agent provocateurs running the show too.
Let's take a little longer time with this.
Come on.
To be run by them, how? What kind of system will they set up? They are used to tribal life, brother. The village. And that's not democracy.
No.
It's not a pyramid. It's a circle.
Exactly. So let the people decide. But this is not what you're seeing in the Near East. You even saw King Abdullah offer $36 billion in reforms. And I saw that. I'm like, let me see how the people are going to react. The people didn't want it. Keep your thing. You know, they want reform. They don't really want reform. They want justice. They want a paradigm shift. They want, the people want the empowerment of women to take a stand in the Near East, because it ain't going to happen without them. You can't oppress women like that for so long. It has to be a joint ideology where the people decide, and the women have to be a part of that. That does not happen in the so-called Middle East.
Okay.
And they're tired of the dictators stood up by the United States. That's why they don't like the United States, because they know who set it up. We don't know.
Let me say this. I'm saying, what basically are they asking for? To be treated with dignity as human beings.
Exactly.
You started the show with that, brother. The global human and a common earth, where this is how you treat a human being. And that's not dictated by a political system.
This is what I'm saying. The days of the pyramid concept of rulership, not knocking pyramids in the wind, I'm talking about the concept of one, is over. And guess who else is going to have to come to that realization? And we're waiting for that. Let's bring it on home to home base. Because we're just as much in the same condition as they are. The only difference is, and I'm like Malcolm, I hate to say this about ourselves, but I have to say it, we punks and passies. We won't hit the streets. You know why? Because we have a police state that'll mow us down. So if we're gonna hit the streets, we're gonna have to arm up to protect ourselves.
Okay, look at it this way. We tried
it. And it shouldn't have to be that way.
We tried that before, brother. It didn't work.
It doesn't work.
You know it doesn't work.
But that's why we're gonna have to come something that even the Satanic can't deal with.
Oh, think then.
It's going to take more than that, because you've got people out there who have been so brainwashed, they will kill for the sake of an order, and you know that, because they're taking their job as, they haven't separated themselves from the job. They haven't separated their humanity from their job. Their job is their humanity. That's the other brainwashing trip.
Okay.
That's what we have to do. We have to win over their humanity. Forget your job.
Okay, Jane, we made the statement.
Are you a free man or are you a slave? This is your time to make that determination.
Okay, let me get this in here. You said, I am not what I do. I am who I am. Now they're asking for what? Jobs? Who are you, brother? Who are you, sister? If you're asking for jobs, you haven't yet defined yourself.
And
if it's about a job.
And that's interesting, because that's another topic for discussion. Job versus getting a life. What's more important? But
then,
like I said.
Okay, what's a life to them, brother?
What's a job to us?
It's a job. I mean, a job is not a life.
Now, let's go back to Yah. Sorry, we're not jumping, ladies and gentlemen, but that is a good topic to discuss, job versus getting a life. What was Yah teaching us? A job or a life?
A life.
Thank you.
A life.
What does that mean? We were not supposed to be working a job. You know what a job is? Slavery. Slavery. Because you have to depend on someone else. Yah was teaching us to depend on what he has given us.
Okay, let me make it a little personal. I went to Tony and said, brother, you don't have a job, have a vocation. And the difference is, this is, you're not laboring for someone. You're demonstrating a skill that gives you pride. There's a difference between a job and a vocation. Acquire a skill where someone won't take something that they gave to you from you, because they can't take it away from you. Because when they need to say, Okay, repair my car. I can repair a car.
Right now, in this economy, if you don't have a degree, a skill is better than a degree right now.
A skill is better than a degree, brother.
So don't go chasing or borrowing $60,000 to get a degree. Use that money to sharpen your skills.
Definitely. In other words,
don't waste your time with the paper.
When I graduated from National Technical School as a mechanic, so I said, let me try this job. He said, how much experience do you have? I said, I just graduated. I can't use you, brother.
can't even get no skills, huh? But you're a graduate with skills, but you can't get those. You can't practice those skills.
Exactly.
Because you don't have enough.
Exactly right. And I'm saying, no.
This is why, in a community, as I said, the apprenticeship program is the best program.
The apprenticeship program, we are looking at it on the wall.
See?
Because when I had my license to work in these mental institutions, I learned so much from these people that have been in there, even in terms of saying, well, how you get that, take that blunt thing and put the needle in there. And I'm saying these people are paid so little, and I'm there fumbling around to say, brother, come over here, do it like this. This system does not work.
Thank you.
Yet you have this person in the office there doing. Well, we're trying to be nice on the show today, so we're going to use our language.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So you're saying, brother, this don't work, brother.
But see, people don't realize that. People are so focused on getting a job that they have forgotten about their life.
What's your life about,
brother? See, that goes with the same problem with paper. Because the barbershop guy kind of brought it up. Because he sells movies to make paper. Mm-hmm. And I said, it's amazing how Satan has us wasting our time, John Tittle, to get paper. I'm sure this guy could be doing something better off at home, maybe with his children and wife, instead of running around L.A. and Long Beach selling movies and making paper. That's how the system got us. Got us good, because Satan understands that as long as we have a job, he has a better chance of killing us. Because once we get a life,
you're right.
We're free.
No.
Job causes life expectancy to decrease. Getting a life increases life expectancy.
Yeah.
I'd love to see the numbers on that, factually. But Yaj is telling me this just from the spirit, because it has been shown already in his book.
Of course.
From Adam to, I forgot who lived the longest after that. It wasn't Noah.
No.
And it wasn't even Abraham.
No.
I don't know if it was Enoch either. I don't know if after Enoch that was the end of long life longevity. Like 500 or 600 years. You know what I'm talking about. So that's...
Okay. Now. Oh, you want to go to the other topic?
No, brother, because we only got 18 minutes left.
Okay. Let me make this point.
We're still on job, getting a life, and we were also talking about the... What was the revolution in the Middle East? This is what we were mixing up together here.
Okay. Let's go back to the Middle East.
Go ahead.
Egypt.
Come on.
The story of Moses. And by the way, Moses was not a white.
He was a Hebrew.
I knew you were going to make
it. He wasn't a Jew either.
That's the point I'm making.
It's very important that we know. Because we don't play here.
Yeah, he was not a Jew.
But he not was even Hebrew. Close. Not even close.
But he was Hebrew.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Remember, the Egyptian queen found a Hebrew.
Not a Jew.
child.
That's very important, brother. Very, very important. Okay, the reason why I say that is because Yah said, Moses, tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Then take them out of this bondage and take them to the promised land that I'll show you. Now, let's move from Moses, and they were Hebrew, to Abraham.
You're going back.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, you're going the other way. You're going the other way. Come on.
Let's go. You say, Abraham, you said, your seed shall inherit the earth at one, which was called Ethiopia, by the way. The earth, one land now. You'll inherit the earth. And he said, okay, the two seeds were Ishmael, Arab, Isaac, Jew. Yeshua was no part of that.
Hebrew, not Jew. Hebrew.
Okay, you're saying Isaac is Hebrew?
Oh, yes. What is Abraham?
Hebrew. How did Jews get into this?
That's the question, fundamental question that everyone who goes to church should ask that question. And the first thing you do is find out when the first word was used. I think it's used in Kings.
Okay.
I could be wrong.
Let's stick with this. You say Yeshua was Hebrew and not Jew?
Of course.
Okay. Why do people think Yeshua was a Jew when it was the Jews that
came? There we go with trickery again.
Why do people...
The Jews have done a great job of implanted themselves in the Bible out of nowhere and then take it over. Because where the Hebrews end is where the Jews begin. And that's not so quite clear.
Okay. Listen to this.
There's a gap.
Let me ask a basic question.
Missing link.
I'm saying, if I ask you the question, who owned most of Hollywood? Would you say Jews?
Of course. I wouldn't even say Jews. I would say Khazars, because that's who that's their tribal name.
Money?
They're phallic worshippers, they're a warrior people, and apparently they're very good and they're very excellent merchants.
Is it the Jew that owned Disneyland?
Yeah.
No.
And you remember, Disneyland is detrimental to all of us who went there, including me, who went to Disneyland. There's no such thing of a place where a child can fantasize to be whatever he wants to be. And in the park where he can tell his parents, all right, y'all about to go there.
Okay.
You can't deny me.
Okay, so you say they did a job on us, all of us.
Through their culture.
True, creating that the whole Disneyland concept.
And it's not only that. Let's bring it home.
Okay.
Through our parents and what kind of jobs they could get, to the housing, the place we lived, the education, the food, the entertainment. What am I forgetting?
Okay, you're forgetting something. All the stories that young people grow up on, looking at these characters going through the motion, living like real people, real lives, in terms of Daffy Duck and all this. I'm saying, you know, the impact of that on determining the culture
on a young
of a
mind,
people,
on a young mind,
and they're looking at that. They did a good job, brother. Now, when are we going to get to the...
Even more to
solving the problem, brother. We are focusing on the problem.
We've talked about the solution.
What's the solution?
We're going to have, and it's not a good solution, but it has to be. We're going to have to unbrainwash. We're going to have to change the way people think, change the way people see things. And this is what the show is about. And we're not coming up with nothing new under the sun, because Yah has all the answers. He's just waiting on us. When we're going to take the blinders off. when we're going to come real, like Michael Jackson say, the man in the mirror.
Let me ask you another question since you brought up Michael Jackson. Do you think he overplayed his hand and a Jew did the job on him?
Of course.
You're bold, brother. We're taping, by the way.
Yes.
A Jew brought him no.
And got a brother.
Blade.
To do the last bidding. And left holding the card.
How can you beat a system like that?
Because there's no way, if me as a doctor, that I was going to take care of Michael, if Michael demanded, like, Michael, I cannot be your doctor. Because ethically, I cannot do that. And I love you. But I'm not going to do that. You're going to have to find something. You want to die? And it won't be on my watch. Jay, I'll pray for you, though.
Jay, you might look at it this way. We are brothers.
5 minutes.
Okay, we are brothers. We live as brothers, brother, in this community. I can go anywhere. I meet my brother. Some of them are homeless, but they're my brother. There's an ethics there that is undefinable, but yet we are brothers. We don't get caught up in labels, but we are brothers, and that's the village. So we have not lost the village. The village is still here.
No, our problem is the greatest problem of all time. Organizing African-American men. That's not going to be easy because you've got a lot of battle victims out there. I'm talking about here. And to persuade their minds from what they've been doing for so long, not knowing they've been programmed to think another way.
They don't know they've been programmed, brother. No, look at this. I know we're getting close. I said to this bishop at the Apostolic Temple, I said, why don't you and Hunter get together, your neighbors, yet you don't know each other? Isn't that interesting? In the same geography? What are you saying?
Malcolm would not be happy either because he saw that during his time. We don't work well as a united front.
Why, brother?
That's a good question.
Why?
Because it has to do with leadership.
Definitely. I'm going to change that, brother. I'm going to introduce you guys. Say, okay, brother, this is the guy over here.
And recognition under this realm. See, you and I don't care about recognition. We just want to bring it down. We don't care who even gets the credit. We don't care. As long as it's brought down, hey, we all did our share.
So we
recognize everyone. And the special ones that put their lives on the line for them that it wouldn't have happened, they get the glory.
Suffering.
Because they went the extra mile that none of us was willing to do.
But let me reemphasize that the village has not gone away, and it's about community. If you feel better giving another name to the concept of village, it's community. And I'm saying the church beyond its walls, it's about this one common geography that is a community. We have to work together if we're going to get anything done in this geography. We have to work
anywhere on the planet.
We have to work together.
And you're not going to be able to do it with the kind of government that you have in place that is very heavy-handed.
In one show, we said
2 minutes.
Okay. What is wisdom? Wisdom is when you use knowledge to benefit your brother. I'm saying you're my brother, and I meet these brothers. I know their plight, and I'm saying, brother, don't give up hope. You might not know how you'll get out of that, but I'm your brother. I got your back.
We have to give our brothers hope because that's the only thing we have left.
Exactly right. I'm with you, brother.
That's all we have left. And try to be an example. Yeah. But we have a lot of knuckleheads running around here. I mean, a lot.
That's our responsibility.
I'm not talking about on the low level. I'm talking about on the high level too. Obama and all the knuckleheads. Because if you're not doing anything for the benefit of the position that you're in, then you're on the other side. I'm calling it out, even Oprah.
Okay.
I'm leaving Bill alone. Bill has said his piece.
Okay.
Bill has gave his money. No need
for him. Are you talking about Bill Cosby?
No, of course. He can say whatever he wants to say.
He did his share. Because
he put his money up and he put his voice up and he was telling people, no problem with Bill.
I have no problem
with Bill. He can roll with us anytime.
Oh, yeah.
It was whether he agrees with us or not. Because it ain't about that.
I think he's one of us, brother.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have run over. Thank you for listening to our show. And listen once again. And we're going to bring in our PIC segment. Unfortunately, I wasn't prepared to do it this time, but I hope you appreciate some of the current events that we talked about and some of the subjects that we have for discussion. We're going to try different ways of doing the show, and hopefully you'll be able to understand what we're trying to do and continue to listen to us. Thank you once again. I'm Mandela.